Welcome to an encore presentation of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The passion and purpose of the Christian Research Institute is to contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints by focusing on apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. To connect with CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. And now here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It's always great to be in studio, and today particularly great because we're doing a special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast as we talk about not a apologetic issue, but the apologetic issue, how one views their origins will ultimately determine how they live their life. If you believe that you're a function of random chance, that you arose from the primordial slime, you're going to live your life by a different standard than if you know that you are created in the image of God and accountable to Him. So the issue that we're going to be talking about today, again, is not just one of many. It is the preeminent apologetics issue. You know, the book of Colossians, written by Paul, tells us that Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, that He is the firstborn over all creation. In other words, He's preeminent over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or rulers or powers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. That is the biblical worldview. And if there is, in fact, a creator, then we will exist in a far different manner than if we presuppose there is not a creator. I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. Think about Dr. Alex Rosenberg, a philosophy professor at the prestigious Duke University. This is a guy who teaches students how to think. And yet he is telling them, without equivocation, that there is no God, that there is no meaning to life, that there's no purpose to the universe, that we do not have a soul, that free will is completely out of the question, and that there's no difference between good and bad, between right and wrong. And when you start to consider that, it's no big stretch to see shootings on college campuses. If life has no meaning, if the universe has no purpose, if there's no ultimate accountability, then you're ultimately going to live as a person that is a function of brain chemistry and genetics. And all of this is prologue to why I'm passionate about a book called Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. It is written by Dr. Frank Turek. He's the co-author of another book, I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. And this book, in essence, teaches us the utter bankruptcy of the atheistic worldview. Now, why is that important? It's important because we have thousands, perhaps millions of students that do not know that the atheistic worldview is in fact bankrupt. And instead of atheism being on the defense, it's the biblical worldview that's on the defense. And so kids go to school. And in a very short period of time, they lose their faith. Frank tells the story about a top Christian student in a high school, the winner of scholarships. She decides in the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Sounds safe so far, particularly because her motive was to win the campus for Christ. And yet, after only 4 weeks, she shocked her dad. She said, "Dad," in a telephone conversation, "I don't believe in God anymore. Would that this was an anomaly, but it's not." Of the 3.7 million U.S. evangelicals 18 to 29, 2.6 million are going to leave the faith, and the vast majority of them are not going to return. Again, one of the reasons this book is a must, it is available. You can order in a safe, secure fashion for your gift on the web at equip.org when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, you can talk to our resource consultants. They're standing by, 888-7000. And the letter is CRI. Frank Turek joins me in studio. Frank, I appreciate this book for a lot of reasons, not only because it is the apologetic issue, but you've made the information accessible.
Well, I tried to do that, Hank, and I take a page from how you write. I know you use acronyms a lot. They're sometimes called hankronyms around here, I know. But CRIMES is an acronym that I thought about to really organize this book around. And each letter stands for a different aspect of reality that atheists often say points to atheism, yet none of these aspects of reality would exist unless God existed. So they're actually stealing from God to argue against him.
In my endorsement of the book, I say, in stealing from God, Frank Turek effectively demonstrates that like the child who must be lifted into the father's lap to slap him in the face, atheists need God in order to make their case. So here you have a memorable presentation so that you may know how to answer everyone. And this is, maybe just to pan back a little bit, this is the significance of apologetics, giving people tools so that they can communicate that God created the universe, that Jesus Christ is God, demonstrated that he was God through the immutable fact of resurrection, and that the Bible is a reliable authority, and in the process learn to answer questions and use those answers as springboards to share the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human life.
Absolutely, and I'm reminded of 2 Corinthians 10:5, where Paul says, "We destroy arguments and take every thought captive to Christ." And one thing I try to do in this book is to use basic elementary logic on some of the atheistic claims to destroy their arguments, because it's not just about giving a positive argument for Christianity, although we try and do that here. I'm also trying to show why the atheistic worldview can't be true. On basic logic, it's self-defeating in so many different areas. In fact, one common theme that I learned in going through the atheistic material, Hank, is that atheists exempt themselves from their own theories. And I think we'll see that as we go through some of this. Their positions are not only self-defeating, but the aspects of reality that they're using to argue against God are stolen from God's world itself.
You don't hate atheists.
Of course not.
You want to reach atheists.
Yes, of course. In fact, let me just tell you a brief thing that happened just the other night. I was at UNC Chapel Hill. I quite frequently go to college campuses, and I was presenting, "I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist." And about 500 people there. It was very well attended. It was standing room only. And during the Q&A, I'm always on the lookout because atheists normally show up, and they can sometimes get a little bit hostile during the Q&A. And I noticed this one older gentleman coming down to the microphone. And I said, "What's your name?" He said, "Dave." Said, "Uh-oh, Dave might be annoyed about something." I go, yes, sir. What's your question?" He reaches into his pocket. He pulls out a piece of paper. He says, "I have my question written down." He said, "For 59 years, I've been looking for evidence against God. I found what I thought was a lot of good evidence against God, evolution being part of it. But a year ago, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. He said, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. It's my second favorite book. I said, you and my mom. And he said, the only question I have now is how can I help prevent young people from leaving the faith? What can I do? So I told him about many different ministries out there, yours, mine, many of the other ones out there that are doing this kind of work. So there is hope out there. This guy was a hardened atheist. And when he starts reading arguments that not only refute atheism, but give a positive case for Christianity, he's a Christian now.
Let's jump into it. I mean, you organized, as I mentioned at the top of the show, your book around the acronym CRIME, Stealing from God. The letter that is the initial letter is a very, very significant issue. It's the whole issue of causality. And if you look at the atheist worldview, they have to presuppose that nothing creates everything, that life comes from non-life, mm-hmm. and that the life that comes from non-life produces morals. That's a stretch.
It is. And in fact, causality is the key to science. If we can't rely on reliable cause and effect, we can't do science. So you have people like Lawrence Krauss out there who writes a book, The Universe from Nothing, where he tries to say that the universe could come from nothing without God. Now, you notice he's not really claiming that the argument that shows that space, matter, and time had a beginning out of nothing is wrong. The evidence is there. Atheists agree that space, matter, and time had a beginning out of nothing. Their contention is, what caused it? And if you read through Krauss's material, you'll realize that not only does he equivocate on the word nothing, and equivocate, we're saying he's using the word nothing not in the sense of how the universe came into existence. The universe came into existence from non-being. It didn't come into existence from a quantum vacuum. But he even later on, Hank, doubts the law of causality. Well, if he doubts the law of causality, then he's doubting virtually everything we know about reality. Because if you doubt the law of causality, you can't draw cause and effect inference. And that goes for his pet theories of macroevolution or quantum causality or the multi-universe theory. These are all theories that atheists like Krauss put forth. But they're using the law of causality in that case to say God doesn't exist. But when the law of causality points toward God existing, suddenly they get all agnostic about the law of causality. It amazes me. They are actually getting rid of the one thing that makes science possible, or one of the things that makes science possible, the law of causality, to say there is no God.
Talk to Dr. Frank Turek. He's the author of Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case, the book available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Richard Dawkins, who is perhaps the most famous atheist on the planet today, he will say, if you, Frank, say God exists, then you have a problem because you have to answer an attendant question, and that attendant question is, who made God?
Oh, yeah, you get that question all the time. Well, the answer to the who made God question is nobody, because nobody made God. God is the uncaused first cause. He is what Aristotle would call the unmoved mover. And this isn't special pleading on our part. We're not just saying, well, you know, God doesn't need a cause, but the universe needs a cause. We're saying the evidence points to the fact that the universe had a beginning. There's only two possibilities. Either the universe is the uncaused first cause, or something outside the universe is the uncaused first cause. All the evidence shows that the universe had a beginning. If the universe had a beginning, if space, matter, and time had a beginning, then the cause can't be made of space, matter, and time. In other words, the cause must be spaceless, timeless, and immaterial. Now, if you're timeless, do you have a beginning? No, God is the uncaused first cause. You know, it's interesting too, Hank, that for many centuries, atheists had no problem believing in an eternal universe. They thought the universe was eternal. Never had a problem questioning that. Now we come along and say, no. There's something eternal, but it's not the universe, it's God. And they go, oh, you can't have an eternal God. Well, wait a minute. If you can have an eternal universe, why can't there be an eternal God? Especially if this being's outside of time. He didn't have a beginning. He created time.
And you only really have, I mean, people think that there are thousands of possibilities for the beginning of the universe, but actually there are only a few, and only one makes sense. In the beginning, God created
exactly.
The heavens and the earth.
Exactly. And I like what my friend John Lennox says. He says, look, there's two ultimate worldviews at the end of the day. Either matter gave rise to mind, or mind gave rise to matter. That's it. When you get down to it, you boil them all down. And we know that matter's not eternal. Matter had a beginning. If matter had a beginning, it can't be the first cause. Mind is the first cause. And that comports well with, of course, John, the first chapter, that in the beginning was the Word, the mind, the Logos, the reason. That's really where the universe came from. It came from a mind and is sustained as we speak by a mind.
Again, we're talking to Dr. Frank Turek, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. It is a resource that I love because it's very, very accessible. It draws you in. One of the things that you'll find out as you read through this book is that Frank is not just blowing smoke. I mean, he knows what he's talking about. He's been on university campuses, and there are a lot of anecdotes, a lot of stories to which you can relate. Stories of real people in real college settings, in other settings as well, of course, but in circumstances where you realize that this is not just an academic issue, this is a life and death issue. The book available, you can acquire your copy in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more of Dr. Frank Turek.
Richard Dawkins admits that the amount of information in a one-celled organism, such as an amoeba, has as much information in its DNA as 1,000 Encyclopedia Britannicas. Now, believing that 1,000 encyclopedias came into existence without any intelligent intervention is like believing that an entire bookstore resulted from an explosion in a printing shop. Many more reasons to believe can be found in Frank Turek's latest book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God, as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return right after the break. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. A young Christian woman goes off to college with a vision to win her campus for the Lord, only to call home at the end of the quarter to say, "Dad, I don't believe in God anymore." This scenario is becoming all too common. But according to Frank Turek, it's not so much that Christian minds are lost at college, it's that Christian minds rarely get to college. The key to reversing this mass exodus of youth from the church is in preparing them with good reasons to believe. That's why CRI is offering the book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Frank Turek's Stealing from God as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. My faith versus my job. My faith versus my social standing. My faith versus my future. For more and more Christians, notes Mary Eberstadt, such either-or thought experiments aren't theoretical exercises. They are constant real-life companions. Houston pastors were subpoenaed to turn over any sermons mentioning gender identity or the mayor. A U.S. Marine in North Carolina was court-martialed, discharged, and denied military benefits for posting on her office computer, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." The Christian Research Institute is here to equip you to act against the growing secular onslaught. Read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for your support. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. In the current cosmic battle for the minds and souls of millions, too many Christians comport themselves as clueless babes in the woods, utterly ill-equipped to deal with the sinister assaults that are mounting on multiple fronts. The reality is, it's not too difficult to become equipped to present and defend the faith. And that's why CRI is offering Frank Turek's illuminating book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. And now here's CRI President Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We are talking today to Dr. Frank Turek. He is the author of a book. It's titled Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. And as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, we're not just talking about an apologetic issue here. We're talking about the apologetic issue. We're talking about the issue of origins. Apologetics in general, of course, very, very significant, because apologetics is, well, you can call it a pre-evangelism. God using your well-reasoned answer as a springboard or opportunity to share the grace and truth and life that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. But it's also post-evangelism, and I want to underscore that for just a moment, Frank, because I call it post-evangelism in the sense that in a world in which so many things go wrong, often the swirling winds and waves of doubt beat upon the house of our faith. And so I call apologetics a pillar and a post that we can cling to in the midst of the storm. We can always go back to the reality that God created the universe, that Jesus Christ is God, and that the Bible is a reliable authority. So when doubts come into the mind of even Christians during trauma, they can go back and cling to those posts.
Yes, and the time to build a strong house is before the storm arises, and that's what we do. I mean, you may be cruising through life right now, you're a Christian, everything's going fine, and you have no doubts that God exists, that Jesus rose from the dead, that the Bible is true, that Christianity is true, but then something happens in your life, whether it's an argument that comes your way, or it's a crisis that comes your way, which you should expect if you're a Christian, but paradoxically, many Christians don't expect it. They expect everything to go well for them. Whatever it is, you need to be grounded in the truth and know why it's the truth. Not just have this superficial kind of emotional feel that God exists. Because a lot of kids, I'll tell you, go off to college with nothing but feel-good emotionalism. And when they run into a college professor who is bent on atheism and he gives what seems like good arguments against Christianity, they're left defenseless, Hank. I mean, somebody put it this way. The easiest way to get picked off in a war is to not know you're in one. And many Christians run off to college not knowing they're in a war, or just go out into society not knowing they're in a war, and then something happens and they're left defenseless.
We're talking about UNC Chapel Hill. Professor Bart Ehrman.
Yes.
He's become world famous. Mm-hmm. He's developed a cottage industry, writing books about how the Bible is filled with not only errors, but intentional lies, as he puts it. But he's particularly proud of doing the very thing that you're alluding to, and that is causing the faith of many of his students to waver. He says, and I'll quote him, he says, some students resist for a long time, secure in their knowledge that God would not allow any falsehoods into a sacred book. But before long, as students see more and more of the evidence, many of them find that their faith in the trustworthiness of Scripture begins to waver. His contention is, in the end, most, if not all, evangelical students walk away from the faith.
Yeah, they do, and he's trying to make them do that. But I found, Hank, it's not just intellectual reasons. quite frequently when people go off to college, there's a number of factors that conspire against belief in God. You go off to college, you don't want to do everything your parents said. You see the opposite sex for the first time, you're independent, you want to do your own thing. You don't want to be seen as the Bible thumper on campus, right? You want to fit in with everybody else. And so there's a number of emotional or moral factors that conspire against belief in God. The young woman you mentioned in the beginning of the program that I mentioned in the book, who left the faith after just 4 weeks of going to UNC Chapel Hill, do you think in 4 weeks she evaluated every argument for and against Christianity and made a rational decision it was false? No way. There's no way to do that in that period of time. I submit to you there was something else going on. See, most people are not on a truth quest or on a happiness quest. They're going to believe whatever they think is going to make them happy. And quite frequently, the elephant in the room on a college campus I found, in fact, I said this the other night at Chapel Hill, the elephant in the room is not evidence. The elephant in the room is morality and accountability. People don't want it.
You actually have a section in the book. I think the subhead is sleeping with my girlfriend,
yeah,
something to that effect. Uh-huh. But the thing you're pointing out is the problem is not an intellectual problem, it's a moral problem.
No, but here's the flip side of that, though. If you're grounded strongly in the intellectual evidence, then after a while, you can't stay in sin. Yeah, I mean, it'll just eat at you. You know Christianity's true, and you're trying to stay in sin because you're trying to make yourself, quote unquote, happy, even though you're really miserable. Eventually, you're going to come back, generally. I mean, there may be exceptions to this, but I think if you're grounded in the evidence and you know it's true, it's real hard to... It's easy to walk away from something you've doubted your whole life. It's hard to walk away from something you know is true beyond a reasonable doubt.
Again, your book is forged around the acronym CRIMES. We talked about causality. Every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. Certainly true with respect to the universe. Either the universe is eternal, as you noted, or it sprang from nothing, or it's an illusion, or in the beginning, God. Mm-hmm. The second letter in the acronym CRIMES, of course, is R. It stands for reason. And you're saying that reason is something that an atheist needs to use in order to make his atheistic argument, but ultimately reason is part and parcel of a biblical worldview.
Of course it is. In fact, that's the way the Gospel of John starts. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, the reason. And yet atheists out there are materialist, Hank. And I don't understand why more of them don't recognize the self-defeating nature of their position, because they say they're materialists, that everything is the result of a previous natural cause over which they have no control, that their minds, they're not minds, they're just brains, according to them. Their brains are just the result of the laws of physics. Well, if every thought they have is the result of just the laws of physics, if they're nothing but moist robots, then why should they believe anything they think, including the thought that atheism is true? Obviously, there has to be a mind, not just a brain, because if we're totally governed by the laws of physics, we're not free. We're not thinkers. It's ironic that the atheists use the term free thinkers to apply to them. If atheism's true, if atheistic materialism's true, there's no such thing as free or thinking going on. We're just molecular machines. So why should you believe anything an atheist thinks? Here's why I say that atheists exempt themselves from their own theories. On one hand, they say that we're the reasonable ones, we're the rational ones, we're the free thinkers. On the other hand, they say there is no rationality, there is no reason, there is no freedom. Free will is an illusion. So they say, Hank, you're a Christian. You don't have free will. You may think you have free will, but you really don't. Yet they assume that they have free will when they make that statement. They assume that they are freely coming to a rational conclusion when they conclude atheism's true. In fact, what they're doing is they're stealing from God's world in order to argue against him.
Kind of interesting. You're talking about logic and reason. The mind is quite obviously not identical to the material brain, because the subjective texture of our conscious mental experiences is different from anything that is purely physical. So that leads us to the conclusion that there has to be something beyond the material world.
Yes, there is something beyond the material world. The essence of the universe, or the essence of all that exists, is a mind. We came from a mind. Matter is derivative from mind, not the other way around, ultimately. And if they're going to say that that everything's made of molecules, what do they do with the laws of logic? I mean, they're not made of molecules. I had a kid at the University of Wisconsin who got up and tried to tell me that the laws of logic were just human constructions. In other words, we just invent these things in our minds. And so I asked him this question. I said, before there were any human minds on the earth, was the statement, there are no human minds on the earth, true? And he stopped and he paused and he didn't want to answer the question. He finally admitted, yeah, it's true. Well, if it's true, then the laws of logic aren't made up by human minds, because before there were any human minds on the earth, that statement was still true. In fact, if the laws of logic were just personal constructs, you and I and our radio listeners right now, Hank, couldn't understand one another. If you had your own ideas of the laws of logic and I had my own ideas of the laws of logic, how could we ever communicate? We are trafficking in unchangeable laws that neither you nor I created, but we're using them right now to communicate. It's a bridge between our minds. That bridge is God's nature. God's nature is the ground of logic. So when atheists try and use reason to say there is no God, they're stealing from God to argue against him.
We're talking to Dr. Frank Turek, the book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case, available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcaster outreaches around the world. You can order in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org, or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000 and the letter CRI.
Can I mention something about the Christian Research Journal? Because I've been getting this thing for years, Hank, and I want to read this thing cover to cover every time I get it, because not only is it beautifully put together, and you didn't ask me to do this, by the way. I just have the new edition in front of me right here.
I happened to put that in front of you.
I haven't seen it. It hasn't gotten to my mailbox yet. But not only is it beautifully put together, the articles are just so excellent, and they boil complicated matters down to a very understandable level. I know you have something to do with this. I know your editors, Elliot, just a whole team here. This is an amazing resource. I don't know why every Christian doesn't get this thing. I mean, it. First of all, it comes out maybe six times a year. So you get 2 months worth of reading right here in this thing, and it just has amazing articles. And you got some of the best apologists in the world writing in this, and philosophers and theologians. So I just want to say, if people don't get the Christian Research Journal, they ought to get it.
If they are not presently subscribing to the Christian Research Journal, they can do so in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. All of this is spontaneous at equip.org. And again, you can also pick up the telephone and talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. One of the things you're underscoring, Frank, here as we go to break is the fact that our faith is not a blind faith. It's faith founded in a refutable fact.
Yes. We don't believe blindly. Faith is trusting in what you know to be true. So there's belief that's evidence, that's apologetics. And then there's belief in, that's trust. Belief that is all apologetics, but all the belief that in the world won't get you saved. James, the half-brother of Jesus, said, even the demons believe that God exists, but they tremble. Why? Because they don't trust in Jesus. And when people tell me, well, you know, would God send me to hell just because I don't believe in Jesus? I normally say, look, God won't force you into heaven against your will. If you don't want to trust in Jesus here on this earth, you're not going to want him in eternity. So there are people been running from Jesus their entire lives. They know intellectually he's the Savior, but they don't want to be with him. So God won't force himself on them in the afterlife.
It's incredible. When you think about people like George Carlin, I was listening to a clip of George speaking before he died. In that clip, as he was mocking God, he was also caricaturing hell. Mm-hmm. Ronald Reagan, son of Ronald Reagan, the president, does precisely the same thing, says he is an atheist, an avowed atheist, and no matter what, he is not afraid of roasting in hell. But he has no concept of what the biblical notion of hell really entails, or the inverse, what it means to be created in the imago Dei, in the image and likeness of God. We are created for fellowship with God. It is hell to be without that.
Multitudes of students are leaving the church as the result of arguments against Christianity from atheist college professors. Yet atheist arguments against God are faulty. Moreover, the feel-good emotionalism offered in most church youth groups leaves students unprepared to give a reason for why they believe what they believe. One of the ways CRI is seeking to reverse this tragic situation is by offering the latest book by Frank Turek, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back in a moment. InterVarsity, one of the largest collegiate associations in the country, has been derecognized on a growing number of college campuses for believing in traditional morals. In 2014, Brendan Eich, CEO of Mozilla and creator of JavaScript, was forced from his position just for having donated $1,000 to California's Proposition 8, a ballot initiative limiting marriage to a man and a woman. A plethora of such examples demonstrate that a tsunami of secularism has been unleashed, and we've not yet seen its high watermark. To equip you for the days ahead, read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe, Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive your copy of It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for supporting the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Many parents and churches emphasize emotion and ignore the biblical commands to develop the mind, which means that most kids skip off to college equipped with little more than feel-good emotionalism, writes Frank Turek in his latest book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. If bands, pizza, and Pepsi could equip church youth with the intellectual firepower to defend Christianity, we wouldn't have so many kids fleeing the church. To equip young people in the defense of the faith and help reverse their mass exodus from the church, read Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. To receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. We're losing our young people to atheism and materialism by the millions. The great tragedy is not that we're fighting these battles and losing to superior arguments or worldviews. Our superior arguments are simply unknown by far too many Christians. To help remedy this problem, CRI is offering Frank Turek's fascinating book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Stealing from God as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And again, a couple of days that we have devoted to not just a apologetic issue, but the apologetic issue in a particular book that takes the issue of origins and makes the information related to it memorable, accessible. That's the kind of book you may want to have a case of in your house or the trunk of your car so you can give them away as needed. They're available when you support the ministry. You can check it out on the web at equip.org or resource consultant standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. When I say the book is accessible, I'm talking about an acronym, the acronym CRIMES. We've talked about causality. It's a big word, but we understand that every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. And that most certainly is true with respect to the universe. We talked about reason, the fact that reason is absolutely critical to thinking about anything, and it comes out of, it's inherent to a biblical worldview. We're going to talk about intentionality now, as well as information. Then we're going to talk in the next broadcast, we're going to talk about morality. We're going to talk about evil. We're going to talk about science, how science could arise. Could it have arisen in a Greek epic? You know, in an epic where there were great philosophers that codified the laws of logic, but they believed in a universe ministered by moody gods. No, we're going to find out that science could only have arisen in a biblical worldview. Bottom line, if you don't have the book, get the book, not only for yourself, for students. This is a great way in which you can make your life count. In other words, you say, I can't do what Frank does on college campuses, but you can take what he does and you can disseminate it to those who desperately need it. Now, as we talk on the broadcast, sometimes we can get a little top apologetics, but trust me, this is pop apologetics. He's taken the complex, made it simple and popular so that anyone can access it. Stealing from God, again, the best way to get your copy or copies is on the web at equip.org. Well, to the letter I, information, intentionality. I was thinking about the fact that a Darwinist, someone who believes that everything is a function of unguided, purposeless processes, believes that a 3,000-pound hippo evolves into a 300,000-pound whale. But again, the notion that unguided, purposeless processes can transform the ears of a land-dwelling, freshwater, hippo-like animal into the echolocation system of a sea-dwelling saltwater whale, and that in a matter of 10 million years, takes more faith than I can muster. And I think that's why you co-authored a book, It Takes Too Much Faith to Be an Atheist. Now, the reason I bring that up is Darwin had an excuse. In his day, fossils were relatively scarce. Not only so, but the science of genetics had not yet evolved. But we are in an epoch where there are no longer those kinds of excuses.
That's right, Hank. In Darwin's day, we didn't know what was in the cell. Today, we know a cell, say in a human being, has 3.5 billion letters worth of information in it. It's the longest word we've ever discovered. All the letters are in the right order, save an error here or two. Yet, I hear atheists saying this. I saw an atheist one time on the internet saying, look, if God would write my name in the sky, I would believe in him. You know, if one day he looked up and it said, hey, Roger, stop all the complaining down there, I'm here, he would believe, right? Why? Because he knows a message always comes from a mind. Well, if a message always comes from a mind, where does a 3.5 billion letter message come from? The letters that are in every human cell. And of course, even smaller animals have incredible genomes. A one-celled amoeba has 1,000 volumes worth of an encyclopedia worth of information in it. That message comes from a mind. By the way, Hank, as you know, this is not a God of the gaps argument. We're not arguing from what we don't know. We're arguing from what we do know. When you see, hey, Roger, I exist up in the sky, that's not, you don't lack a natural explanation for that. You go, hey, that's positive information for a skywriter at least, or God. And the same thing is true when we see a genome. We know that's positive evidence for an intelligence.
You know, you say it's positive evidence for an intelligence, but you hear over and over again, whether you're listening to YouTube on the web or you're listening to the radio or watching television, you hear that intelligent design is a science stopper. We say that it simply is taking the evidence wherever it leads. But so many people have said it so often that people actually think it's a science stuff.
In some cases, it's exactly the opposite. In the chapter here in Stealing from God, I talk about why it's the opposite. You see, Darwinists have thought that the non-coding regions of our genome, which is 98% of our genome, so only 2% of DNA codes for proteins. The other 98% we thought didn't do anything. We thought it was just artifacts from the trial and error process of Darwinism.
Kind of like an appendix.
Yeah. And yet we, the intelligent design people said, we think there's function in that 98%. And they began looking for the function and they realized there was function. And you know why they were looking for it, Hank? Because apparently the non-coding regions can turn certain functions on and off in a cell. And so these intelligent design scientists were saying, if we can turn things on and off in the cell, maybe we could turn off cancer cells. Yet the Darwinists were saying, no, this stuff is just junk. Don't even look at it. What was the science stopper? Darwinism was, because they had already ideologically ruled out that the non-coding regions could have function. When the intelligent design people are going, no, it might have function. Let's see what it is. Oh, it can turn things on and off. Maybe we can stop cancer. Now, who's the science stopper there?
And the next time you hear someone saying that intelligent design is a science stopper, remember, that is simply propaganda. It follows as a system truth wherever the truth may lead. And a lot of people are afraid to follow truth because if there is truth, then there are consequences. Then what you think or say really does matter, not only for time, but also for eternity. Think about information, intentionality. A lot of people say, you know what, if God really designed us, if this was not a function of purposeless, unguided processes, then why do we have eyes that have defects? And I've often thought about how significant it is for us to underscore the reality of constrained optimization.
Yes.
And so there are answers. Those answers are given in your book, but people oftentimes miss the answer, and because they miss it, they don't think there is one.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why you need to get answers for these things, because you start doubting them. To say that our eyes have defects, first of all, they don't. We've now found that the way that eyes are wired actually helps the eye see. But secondly, there is no perfect design in a world that we have, where we have dimensions and
constrained optimization.
Constrained optimization. To say, like, for example, my iPhone is not designed because it only lasts 37 minutes and then I got to recharge it. I know I'm exaggerating here, but, well, how could you make an iPhone that lasts longer than 37 minutes? Well, you can make it as big as a suitcase, right? But when you do that, what happens? You can't carry the thing around. Oh, yeah, this thing lasts for 4 days. But, I, you know, trying to talk on it is a problem. Trying to carry it around is a problem. So what the designers at Apple have done is they've had, as you say, constrained optimization, Hank. They say, we've got to balance portability with power. And so they balance the two. Only a knucklehead would say that this thing isn't designed because it doesn't last as long as I want it to. It's still designed. It's just that they've opted more for portability than for the length of the battery.
That leads to another issue. I mean, you say a knucklehead, but there's a sense in which we no longer...
That's the technical term, by the way, knucklehead.
We no longer, in our particular epoch of time, have the opportunity to process information. So we're living in an age of information overload, but we can't think. I mean, we're watching a particular thing unfolding in Syria, or some kind of a typhoon somewhere else, or a hurricane. And then you have a commercial interruption. You never really process the information. Yeah. You don't think. And this is one of the things you're driving at in this book. You want people to think, not just accept. So someone says, there's a flaw in the eye. Oh, wow. Well, maybe... I mean, if God is really God, there wouldn't be a flaw. They don't really think about it. They don't ask critical questions, as you point out. I mean, a lot of illustrations we could use. Go to a movie theater, and I love the big screen, but it wouldn't work very well in my house.
No, yeah.
We need to learn to question the question, mm-hmm. or question the proposition, don't
Absolutely.
We?
Absolutely, and those are some of the points I try and make in Stealing from God. By the way, I always have to say, Stealing from God is not about tithing. People always say, is this book about tithing? No, not that there's anything wrong with that. It's Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. And some of the questions that we try and get people to ask are, well, what do you mean by that? And how'd you come to that conclusion? Following in Greg Kokel's footsteps from his book Tactics, you know, where he talks about these things. We've got to start asking questions, Hank, because when you start asking questions of someone with an atheistic worldview, you realize that they not only have no evidence for their worldview, but they're even confused about what Christianity believes.
So often it's caricatured. Mm-hmm. Blaise Pascal made this incredible statement. He said that God dwells in enough obscurity so that if you do not want to find him, you will not. But he dwells in enough light so that if you do want to find him, you will. This book, what we're doing in the Bible Instrument Broadcast, our journal, everything that we're devoted to is getting people to observe the light, to recognize that the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands, day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they proclaim knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their words go out to the ends of the earth. Or as Paul said, his eternal power, divine nature, clearly seen through what has been made so that we are without excuse.
Exactly. And in fact, let's go back to what we talked about earlier in the program about causality, Hank, because people are confused sometimes about causality. Do you realize the law of causality helps us understand God? That we know God by his effects. We see a creation, we know there must be a creator. We have a conscience, we know there must be a moral lawgiver. We see the effects, as the eyewitnesses saw with regard to Jesus, that he's able to do miracles. They say the cause of the miracle is God. So the cause and effect, just like in science, is essential for our worldview as well. And of course, we use science to find cause and effect for the Christian worldview, just like we do in a secular worldview, except as we'll see when we get to the next broadcast, perhaps, the secular worldview has to steal aspects of God's reality to say God doesn't exist.
In this broadcast, we've talked with Dr. Frank Turek about causality, reason, information. They're only the first three letters in the acronym CRIMES. We're going to talk tomorrow about morality, evil, and science. This is going to be enlightening. Again, all of this is part and parcel of stealing from God. Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case, the book available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. The Bible Answer Man broadcast or outreaches around the world. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. Or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they're standing by 888-7000 and the letters CR. Do remember, we do what we do because life and truth really do make a difference. You can stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth when you pray for this ministry and support us. Remember, equip.org. So out for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. My faith versus my job. My faith versus my social standing. My faith versus my future. For more and more Christians, notes Mary Eberstadt, such either-or thought experiments aren't theoretical exercises. They are constant real-life companions. Houston pastors were subpoenaed to turn over any sermons mentioning gender identity or the mayor. A U.S. Marine in North Carolina was court-martialed, discharged, and denied military benefits for posting on her office computer, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." The Christian Research Institute is here to equip you to act against the growing secular onslaught. Read Mary Eberstadt's book, It's Dangerous to Believe: Religious Freedom and Its Enemies. Receive It's Dangerous to Believe as our thanks for your support. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. A young Christian woman goes off to college with a vision to win her campus for the Lord, only to call home at the end of the quarter to say, "Dad, I don't believe in God anymore." This scenario is becoming all too common. But according to Frank Turek, It's not so much that Christian minds are lost at college, it's that Christian minds rarely get to college. The key to reversing this mass exodus of youth from the church is in preparing them with good reasons to believe. That's why CRI is offering the book, Stealing from God, Why Atheists Need God to Make Their Case. Receive your copy of Frank Turek's Stealing from God as our thank you for your gift. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.